So we have a few minutes for questions, and you'll have to shout your question because we only have this one microphone. So we'll do our best. Question. All the way in the back.
I know that there's a lot of second thought on Hillary, but don't you think everything overriding her would be the fact that she would name 3, 4, maybe 5 Supreme Court justices? Wouldn't that be enough to get us past some of the southern morass that she's got into?
Well, I mean, as I said this morning and then on the radio and then at MATC and then half hour ago here, anyone who would say to me, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton based on Supreme Court nominations alone, end of discussion. I get it. I'm not, you know, to me, that's not actually the most interesting question. I'm more interested. I mean, that would be a strategic voter. That's someone who's saying, I don't have any illusions about these people, these candidates, and I'm not ceding my conscience to a politician. I'm making a strategic decision to vote for someone because I don't want that lunatic choosing who's going to make, you know, tell me what doctor I can go to and whether or not I have to keep a pregnancy. To me, I would never say to somebody, oh no, actually, but Hillary's an imperialist, you shouldn't vote for her. No, you're a strategic voter, I get it, we have no argument. But I'm not gonna sort of like pretend that the truth isn't true and that Hillary is something other than a complete member of the empire class who is in she's not in the pay of these things, of these places only. I mean, she is, just like all of them are, but she's with them. That's, her agenda is the agenda of corporate America. And I don't mean good corporate America. I don't mean like, you know, businesses that are where, I mean like corporations that defy the concept of nation states. Hillary Clinton is an empire person. But if you know that and you say, well, strategically, but people who are like, I'm with her, I don't get that. I really don't understand that. I think, or with anybody for that matter, even with Bernie, I don't get this idea of like, this person is our messiah. It's like we want that in this country. None of these people are any of that. You know, but it's like you can passionately support it, but have some strategy behind it. The I'm with her thing, I don't get. I really don't get it.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I mean, one of the most depressing places you could ever go in this world is the Republican National Convention. I've been to several of them, but I have never met so many people gathered in one place who are willfully and enthusiastically conspiring against their own self-interest. I mean, it's like, it really is like, you feel like every sucker who pays the manufacturer price on a vehicle somehow managed to get into the Republican National Convention, and they're offering to pay a little bit over the price just to make sure they get that vehicle, even though there's like 50 of them on the lot. And it's like, they are voting for people who are bad for small businesses, actually. They're voting for people who are bad for the working person in this country. And it's like, some cult of something captures people. And it happens on the left, and it happens on the right. And right now, the Trump thing, like, Trump is speaking now for the racists who were hiding in the corner of shame for a long time, unable to express their deeply held beliefs that white people are superior to everyone else and that Honey Boo Boo should be the Secretary of State. And it's, but Donald Trump, he has given voice to people who hate everyone that's not white, who believe that the Mexicans are conspiring with Mao Zedong, also known as Barack Obama, to try to bring Osama bin Laden's Sharia law to Oklahoma. And so who cares? Trump's answer, we're gonna make America great again. But what's amazing, that shit is working. And many of those people, and many of his diehard supporters, they're gonna get killed by those policies. The same way that people got killed by NAFTA and GATT and all of that stuff. They've convinced people to vote against their own self-interest, and they're being manipulated. But the Democrats also manipulate people. It just is sort of a more sophisticated, civil kind of a con, and so I think, you know, when we look at it though, and you're asking about sort of talking to other people, I actually find it fascinating to, you know, there, I think most people in general are not with her or I'm a racist and I love Donald Trump because it's my truck. I mean, I really think that it, that most people in this country are sort of do kind of think for themselves, but they put it on autopilot for these issues, thinking, well, that's too big for me. It's somebody else's problem. It's somebody else's issue. I think that, I think it's just common sense how things sometimes happen. And, you know, on an issue-by-issue basis, I was referencing earlier the Obamacare. You know, I mean, Obamacare is actually really bad for me, and it's really bad for a lot of people I know that have, you know, small businesses and other things. I mean, it really is tough, and the premiums are insane. But if you're, you know, a 24-year-old and you're on your parents' insurance, or you have a pre-existing condition, or you're from a family that really is struggling and you didn't have health care, there are so many people who have been helped because of the ACA. So what do you do with that? Now, I think it was it really ends up benefiting pharmaceutical companies? Oh, yeah, definitely. Insurance companies? Yeah, they've already figured out a way to screw Obamacare. But if you ask most Americans, what do you think about this stuff? The individual, and they did this at times. So the White House did do this. Took polls where they asked people not what do you think of Obamacare, not what do you think of the ACA, but said, what do you think of this idea of a pre-existing condition? What do you think of this idea of an exchange? What do you think of this? And in all of those cases, the vast majority of people supported most of the components of Obamacare. But then if you say, do you support Obamacare? No. Okay, that says a lot about how our society functions. I sort of view these political candidates the same way. You know, like if you say, oh man, you know, Dick Cheney actually authorized an operation that killed a 16-year-old American citizen in a drone strike, and this kid had no idea. Oh my God, that's horrible. Oh no, I tricked you. That was Obama. Oh, well, he must have had a reason for doing it. You know, what does that say about us as people? So I kind of think it's we need to get down more with the idea that, like, voting is strategy at this point in the duopoly. It's a strategic thing that people do. But sort of the broader principles and who we organize around, I think we have to get outside of the box that it's liberal conservative. I really think it's kind of fascinating what's happening right now with Gary. You know, Gary Johnson is a mixed bag, the libertarian candidate, but he's interesting in a number of levels. Not okay, he didn't know what Aleppo was, fine, whatever. But he's very interesting. He was actually a very interesting governor. You know, and Jill Stein, probably the smartest person in the race right now. They won't let them debate, and there's a reason they won't let them debate. Ross Perot ended up getting 19% of the vote because he was allowed to be in the debates and people figured out who he was. He also was able to self-fund his campaign. So I know that's not an answer to your question, but I do think that you probably have a lot more in common with people. If you start talking about what do we actually believe in, then are you with her or, you know, are you with him? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, sir, and then you back there. Yeah, go ahead. And that's strategy, too.
I haven't had any of the parties explain their front lines and debate airing their views to the constructive
Is that your phone again? There you go. All right, so you're not voting. You don't care who bombs our country. Okay, that's fine. Okay. You don't care who destroys the country next.
I'm not voting because I don't feel like any of you. There's nothing other than hand fighting you. Shopping bag. I don't feel that I should put that money on. I refuse to put that money.
Well, that's your right.
I'm not voting for any of these candidates. And, Cardi B pointing to Coca-Cola stuff set up in the first place?
Well, I mean, actually, the Cato Institute, you know, which is a libertarian think tank. I mean, there's different strands of libertarianism, and I think it becomes a very dangerous territory to just sort of say libertarian with one. I mean, there is a libertarian party, but to answer your question about the Koch brothers, and of course, the Koch brothers play a very destructive role here in Wisconsin, and of course, we know and elsewhere, but I mean, we happen to be here in Wisconsin, and you know, the marvelous prank call to Walker, you know, pretending to be Coke. But all right, at the risk of sort of getting booed off the stage here, I will say this. At times, David Koch and the Koch brothers, their positions on prison issues, on drug reform, on crime issues are vastly better than any policy position that Hillary Clinton has ever held on any of those issues. The Koch brothers. You can fact check me later and go and look into this. there is, or you can believe the professor. So does that mean that I'm like, oh my God, the Koch brothers are great? No, reprehensible people. However, on certain core issues, there are libertarians, like, you know, Ron Paul and to a lesser extent, Rand Paul. But if you actually listen to what Ron Paul said, there's a lot of insanity and there's a lot of disgusting ideas. And there's a whole history that I think is should really be examined if he wants to hold, you know, public office. But I found myself agreeing more with Ron Paul in those debates when he was running than any of the Democrats, except the times when they would let Dennis Kucinich speak. Why? He was saying the things that many of us believe about U.S. wars and our interests and why are we bombing these countries and what does it mean and how are these tragedies exploited? And Ron Paul is a dedicated libertarian. So Gary Johnson, yeah, does he get money from the Kochs to the libertarians? I'm sure they get a lot of money from the Koch brothers. In fact, now the Koch brothers can't stand Trump. So they're flailing trying to figure out who to pour their money behind. And they, I'm sure, would love to see Gary Johnson just because Gary Johnson's very good on crime issues, prison issues, drug reform, better than any of the Democratic candidates that ran this year. So, you know, it's interesting when people are, you know, it's very easy to just say, oh, well, he's a Koch-funded this or that. I know all about that stuff. I'm with you on it. But we need to be intellectually honest. Hillary Clinton's policies on these things stink. And she has had to be, you know, sort of just dogged on this stuff by activists and others for her to even say anything. Bernie Sanders forced her to take positions on certain issues she didn't want to touch. You know, so to say Koch brothers, it's really, I mean, I know this isn't where you were going, but it's like that to me doesn't just say, well, you've been tarred and feathered. Well, you got Koch, because Koch brothers are better than Hillary Clinton on some of these issues. So that's the tough thing. Anyway. That was a long time. Yeah. I mean, but doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Go ahead. I said him and then this woman here. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one thing that is, you know, I don't have any scholarly background to make sweeping statements about historical patterns, but the sense that I have, and you know, I think it's right, but I'm open for correction. The sense I have is that since the sort of, you know, the business of war became profitable in the context of the modern age, i.e., the idea of the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower spoke of. By the way, that speech should be required viewing for every person in this country, along with the speech that Representative Barbara Lee gave in California when she was the lone voice rising in opposition to the authorization for the use of military force. That was the blank check, as it's referred to, that was given to the Bush administration, you know, in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. But that all of these sort of, you know, what Eisenhower, you know, Eisenhower's speech is actually really interesting. Everybody quotes that, oh, the military-industrial complex. What was Eisenhower talking about at the time? He was talking about the linking of profit, like corporate profit, to a belligerent offensive foreign policy. And basically saying, you know, and this is a military guy who was saying this, and, you know, he has his own issues that we can talk about. But what Eisenhower was saying is that if you link profits to our policies on war, then the corporations are going to become so powerful that the civilian system is not going to be able to keep them in check. Okay, is that an accurate portrayal of it? Okay, so of course the opposite happened, and you know at times Johnson made decisions to expand parts of the Vietnam War. His friends from Bell Helicopter in Texas made a lot of money off of that. You had Dow Chemical and all these other corporations. They linked profits to the expansion of wars. The same is true with the drone program. You know, the idea of a weaponized UAV, you know, a drone, was floating around for quite some time. The idea that robots will be able to engage in warfare is very appealing. Why? Well, on the one hand, you don't have to risk the lives of your own pilots by doing these things. But on the other hand, that stuff's really expensive to build. And it requires bids from big corporations. And all of these weapon systems that we're building, they always have a new perfect toy for whatever the really age-old threat is. You know, it's the same stuff that always happened. But we're told every time, oh, this is a different kind of a threat. Oh, this is a bigger menace than that before. And the defense industry always has the solution. How does this relate to the secret judicial process? Because all of this stuff we do around the world, and this is where I want to be fact-checked on my historical analysis, everything we're doing around the world eventually kind of comes back home. These wars end up back home. Sometimes they come back home in the form of the soldiers themselves then being destroyed people when they're here and not having adequate. But what I'm talking about is mercenaries go to Iraq, and then we expand the use of these private soldiers, and then we have a war going on, and then we have a natural disaster, and the same solution, it's a turnkey solution provided by the same companies. We go from war profiteering to disaster profiteering. Well, the military was engaged in all these huge-scale military operations. What are we going to do with all the stuff that we used in Iraq and don't want to deal with now? I have an idea. Let's give it to the cops. So then Homeland Security starts a grant program. It's like you can apply for, funding for your school, for your library, or for your own armored Bearcat vehicle and a little bird helicopter with the paramilitary gear included. So you can apply for this stuff. And that's part of why now it seems like stormtroopers are everywhere where there's a protest. It's because they're using the military gear that was like deployed in war zones and now it's in our cities. But the same is true of all this surveillance. And the same is true of questions of due process. How long will it be before we make a decision to utilize the same kinds of technology that they use to track and whack, as they call it, suspected terrorists, when they will use it for people accused of common crimes? Oh, wait a minute, they already are. The FBI started trickling down to local police forces, including here in Wisconsin, Stingray devices, which can be used to monitor cell phones. And the idea is you're going to track a particular cell phone of a drug dealer, and you're going to find where he is, and then you're going to go in, and you're going to arrest that drug dealer. It's sort of like a lower scale version of what they use to kill people in a drone strike. It's what they're allowing local police forces to have. The problem is, and we recently published, and in this book, actually, we published a whole catalog of these devices that they give to local police forces now. They don't just get the guilty people or the suspects stuff. They suck up everybody's data. They put everyone, and what do they do with that data? They say, oh, well, we'll delete it. Who oversees that? Who's making sure that, Sheriff Clark is actually going to delete the stuff from their mobile Stingray? Yeah, he's too busy getting big speaking fees. But being on Fox News 24/7, I know, Norm, I'm way over. But all of this stuff comes home, and we always say, well, that's in a far-off place. Everything we've seen happening since 9/11, and Bush and Cheney, you have to believe that some within that administration, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they realized they had an opening, and they took it like champs, and they rammed things through, and then they convinced everyone except Russ Feingold to vote for the Patriot Act. That was remarkable. Everyone except Feingold, they get to vote for the Patriot Act. That was an incredible thing. But that's what they did. That was a coup in this country. And how do you repeal it? No, it just intensifies. So, people talk about, oh, well, what are we going to do if they put the FEMA camps up? They won already. It's incredible. You're paying attention to the Kardashians while they're waging wars, stripping civil liberties. It's really amazing. My favorite line from any movie is from Usual Suspects, where they say at the end of it, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. They already had the coup in this country. What Eisenhower envisioned, yeah, they won. That's what they did. And they not only linked corporate profits to war, they're now linking it to the war against criminals, to just common drug people who didn't pay child support. They're now using weapons of war to track down people who aren't paying their child support. Okay, do I want someone to pay their child support? Yeah, I do. Do I think we should be using drone-style technology to go and find that guy? Probably not. One of the main reasons why, beyond it's just an insane waste of money, is that you're going to suck up the data of everyone in that guy's neighborhood, and I don't trust that you're going to delete it. I think you might use it for something. So, everything that goes around comes around in these systems, and it has now the stamp of approval of Mr. Constitutional Law Scholar. Listen, we have to. The library will kick us out, but here's the thing. I'll sign books if you want. If you don't buy a book, you can still come if you wanted to say something or ask me something. But thank you guys very much.
Thanks so much, Jeremy Scahill. And there's actually three different books available out there. Room of One's Own brought a great supply. And want to hear just a couple more things about the Wisconsin Book Festival before you leave.
So I'll keep it really short because the announcement is going to go off again. We're really pleased to have Jeremy Scahill here with WORT, and I just want to bring your attention to two upcoming events in the next week. On the 23rd of September, we have Lithium Jesus with Charles Monroe Kane here at the Central Library. And on September 27th, we have Give Us the Ballot with Ari Berman at the Goodman Community Center. So thank you again for coming on this rainy day and for being with us at the Book Festival. Thank you.